Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Sixer Sense podcast. I'm your host, Lucas, with Chris. And we are doing a quick little short episode because I got plans. And if we don't do it today, it's not going to happen. That in the meantime, at least until next week. And we didn't want to leave you a whole week without Sixers content from us. So that being said, we do have a very interesting thing. Now that the Sixers offseason is all but settled, we're going to get into some six roster rankings, which feels like an appropriate time to do this now that all the trades have happened. At the end of last episode, we mentioned how KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, might become a member of the Sixers. That pretty much happened as soon as we got done recording, Chris. You had a little bit of a laugh after that. We joked about Draymond Green becoming a member. That did not happen. He ended up re-signing with the Warriors for 1 year, $27 million. But there has been some, you know, talk about how the Sixers are going to add KCP because, technically, due to LeBron signing a two-year deal, he doesn't get the vet minimum exemption on the salary cap, so it's the full $4 million. So basically, my understanding is that now they've already waived Dalen Terry, and now they have to decide between either Jabari Walker, Dembona, or Jani Broome, who they're going to get rid of. Bona's probably not coming off the list, to be clear. We did get a Ben Simmons-esque, you know, three-point shooting video from him, which was a little bit process-esque, like this jersey there. Shout out to Jahlil, wherever you might be right now. But, Chris, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Lucas, I would bet a lot of money that Dembona is not going anywhere. Jabari Walker has a non-guaranteed contract of note.
Yeah.
Jani Broome has a guaranteed contract for just over $2 million a year, the lowest on the Sixers' books. It seems, according to Jake Fisher and some other reporting out there, that the Sixers would either like to trade Broome, which would probably take attaching a second-round pick or two to get off the contract.
Yeah.
Or they could waive and stretch him, pay him about $300,000 a year for the next, like, 7 years. And that would also get them to the necessary cap number, bring in both KCP and LeBron. So,
yeah.
Seems like Jahlil Broome is probably the one out the door. We can't fully rule out that Jabari Walker will be out the door, but the reporting is that they would prefer to keep him. So for the purposes of our ranking the Sixers project today, we are going to include Jabari Walker and not include Jahlil Broome.
Mm-hmm.
But if that changes, we'll talk about it next week or whenever we record next.
And we should note because the fact that, you know, we still will have one open roster spot, but because we are hard capped at the first apron, thanks to the Jaylen Brown trade, we cannot add anybody until midseason, according to Bobby Marks. So that's kind of where we're at with that as well.
Yeah. So this offseason is more or less wrapping up. I wouldn't expect any major moves of consequence. You know, never say never. They could try to do a trade, but it would take some real creativity with how the cap sheet lays out. Mm-hmm. So this is probably more or less the roster we are going to see going into training camp and going into opening day. They will have an extra two-way spot. We'll see if they decide to use it. But for now, Lucas, we have 16 players that we're going to rank. We're going to start at the bottom, as always, and talk through our separate lists and see where we agree, where we disagree, and go from there. So I'll start with you. Who is your number 16?
So the two-way guys are at the bottom here for me. I don't know too much about either one of them. Both of them have shown flashes. Caleb Love did it on a more contentious team than Rayon Rupet. So I'm going to go Rupet here at number 16.
Yeah, I mean, that's who I also have at 16. They did notably, they were both on Portland for a good bit last year. Rupert ended up being sent to Memphis. But Love played some really important minutes for the Blazers when their backcourt was depleted by injuries. He wasn't particularly impactful, but he played a lot of minutes and was able to put up some numbers and carry them through some tough stretches. So I have Rupert at 16 as well. Theoretically, a 6'7 wing who can play, make, get out in transition, defend a little bit, could fit on this roster and be a guy that they need. There's a world in which he kind of breaks through and becomes a real piece here, but we just haven't seen it yet at the NBA level. So I also have Rupert at 16. Who do you have at 15? I assume it's Caleb Love.
Yeah, it's Caleb Love.
Yeah, that's also where I have Caleb Love. So the two-way guys are at the bottom for both of us. 14 is where it opens up a bit. These are the real roster guys. Who do you have at 14, Lucas?
You're going to be mad at me for this one. And you know I'm low on him to begin with. I have a Dembona here at 14. You're working on your three-point shot. That's not your issue. Your issue is that you can't set good screens and you can't, like, catch the ball on lobs and you don't have a high defensive IQ. That's the problems. That's the things you should be working on this summer instead of doing corner threes. Like, come on, dude.
Well, that's fair. I would just say that mathematically they won a Dembona's minutes last year. He's been one of the better backups of the Joel era, as sad as that might be. At 14, I have Justin Edwards, who, another wing who in theory is going to be really important. They need the shooting, they need the defense. Unfortunately, we haven't really seen him play much defense at a high level in the NBA yet. He's been pretty brutal on that end of the floor. The shooting kind of comes and goes in waves, and he's not adding much else offensively. So I have Justin Edwards at 14. I'm hopeful that he can get closer to what we saw from him as a rookie. There were a lot of flashes that rookie season that were very promising. He had his moments here and there last year, but it was just very, very inconsistent. So hopefully a guy who can rise up these rankings by the time we do the midseason. But I have Justin Edwards at 14. Who do you have at 13, Lucas?
So I have Jabari Walker at 13. And look, if Jabari Walker was 3 inches taller, he'd be the ideal backup center for Joel Embiid. If we're being honest here, he's 6'7". And look, the guy is a high-energy defender, can rebound. Rebound's really good for his height, to be honest with you. Can hit the occasional three, not like a marksman, but plays with high energy. Honestly, like I said, if he was 6'10 instead of 6'7", he'd be an ideal backup for Joel.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I have Ariel Hukporti at 13, the new guy. Hit the Sixers sign for just over the minimum. I have some real concerns about him potentially being the full-time backup and playing significant minutes. I think he's more of an energy changer at this point and not someone you want to rely on a regular basis. Another guy who could rise up these rankings. We'll see what happens when he gets a potentially more consistent role, but between him and Bona, I think Bona's a better defender at this point. I think Hukporti is a better rebounder, which the Sixers need. He's a bit bigger, a bit stronger, but Bona has kind of the rebounding and the lob catching in a way that Hukporti just doesn't quite match at this point, and he's more established than Hukporti, who didn't play very much in New York. So, until further notice, I have Hukporti at 13. Who is your number 12, Lucas?
This is where I got Justin Edwards. Like, look, this is a make-it-or-break-it year for Justin Edwards. Thanks to the addition of KCP. If KCP bounces back, like I think we both hope he can, then Edwards is going to be an afterthought. But if KCP continues to take the downward, ride that he's been taking, then Edwards will probably become a lot more important, become possibly more of a regular rotation guy. But for now, like you said, the inconsistent offense, the lack of defense, but like, look, all the tools are there. I remember you being so high on him coming out of the draft, even though he was undrafted, because, the tools are there. He was the top kid in high school. So look, I'm not ready to give up yet.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I have Jabari Walker at 12, so we aren't too far apart there.
Yeah.
Look, good energy. I like him a lot. Seems like a good teammate. Plays really hard. The rebounding is super important on this team. Can handle a few different assignments on defense. If he really did much of anything on offense, I would be a lot higher on him. I think there's a reason they want to keep him, because they need low usage guys who can come in and do the dirty work. And he does the dirty work at a pretty high level. So
yeah.
I think there's a good chance he's still getting real minutes this season, at least until they can maybe upgrade around the deadline. But yeah, I have him at 12 for all the reasons you kind of outlined. Who do you have at 11, Lucas?
11, I have And to be clear, the guy that I'm about to say here, I think is going to have a regular rotation role, but I think he's not going to be having the same role that he had last year. I have Dominic Barlow here at 11. I think, honestly, he's our best option as a backup center right now. So I know he's working on his 3-point shot, but like, look, he's big enough. He's strong enough. He's a good rebounder. I mean, maybe he's not quite strong enough, but like, I'm willing to play him at center and see what happens.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I would like to see Barlow at the 5 this year. I have a Dembona at 11. Mm-hmm. I like him more than you, obviously. I think there's a real pathway there if he can cut down on the fouls and just play a bit more, make quicker decisions, I guess, on both ends. But crazy athlete, is a really talented shot blocker and defender when he's locked in. And he's going to be able to run the floor with the Sixers this year. And there's going to be a lot of running the floor with LeBron and Jaylen Brown and VJ and Maxey. This is a very fast team on paper. So I think this is a good environment for Bona potentially to break out, especially in the LeBron minutes. We kind of talked about wanting to pair him in a quarter with LeBron and a guy who can like make those lob passes mm-hmm. and kind of set the table offensively and make quick, smart decisions. So mm-hmm. I'm pretty optimistic, reasonably so, about what Bona can do this year.
Yeah.
I have him at 11.
Look, I'll say this about Bona. If Bona really wants to learn how to play with LeBron James, you know who's a player that was very similar to Bona, you know, when he started playing with LeBron, was Joel Anthony from Miami. I think he needs to watch some tape on Joel Anthony to see how that worked out.
Yeah. Who do you have at 10, Lucas?
10, I have LeBaron Filon. Do I think he's going to get that many minutes? It depends on KCP, right? I think the kid's really skilled. Maybe I'm wrong keeping him at 10 here. Maybe he's too low. But look, if the other guys ahead of him, wait a second, I feel like I'm missing somebody. Hang on,
Lucas.
Hang on, I might be missing somebody. No. Because like I copied and pasted the list that you sent. No, wait a second. I skipped somebody. Who did I skip? I have Bona, Walker, Hawk Porty. Did I have Hawk Porty at 12?
No.
Ah, shoot. Okay. Well, Hawk Porty's at 12. Edwards is at at 11. And,
that makes more sense because you said Barlow was your best center.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. So let me just fix this real quick. Hawk Purdy's at 12. I think he's stronger. I think he's a better rebounder. He has better hands. If he can cut down on the fouls, I think he's probably a better defender than Bona. That's why I have him at 12. Erase everything that you just heard about LeBaron Filon. Like I said, Barlow's 10 on my list. So that's who I have.
Okay. Yeah, just for the viewers listening at home, he has Repair at 16, Caleb Love at 15. Adem Bona at 14, Jabari Walker at 13, Ariel Hook-Porty at 12, Justin Edwards at 11, and Dom Barlow at 10. My number 10 is KCP. He's been pretty rough these last couple years. I don't know if he's quite as bad as people make it out to be. I still think he's a solid defender. Mm-hmm. Volume is really more important than efficiency a lot of the times with shooting, and he's still shooting plenty, so I'm reasonably confident that he can carve out a decent role on this team and be well optimized. So another guy who could climb up by the time we do this again mid-season. But just for now, since he's had a rough go of things these past couple years, I have KCP coming in at 10. Number 9, Lucas, seems like is LeBaron Filon.
Yeah, it is. Look, okay. The guy has all the skill. The issues with him is the weight and, you know, like how will his defense translate. But look, if he can either muscle up or show that he can play defense, I'm not worried about the offensive end with him. He's not going to be asked to do nearly as much as he did in the summer league, so I expect, you know, decent efficiency for a rookie here. Yet again, his playing time will be determined. Look, I think the bench right now outside of Wade and Simons is essentially fluid right now. I think those are the only two guys that you can say for certain will have regularly, you know, scheduled minutes. Everybody else on the bench here doesn't. But Filon would be near close to having, you know, consistent minutes as anybody else on this rotation, not named Wade or Simon. So,
Yeah, I think that's fair. I have Barlow at 9.
Okay, fair.
I, like you, would like to see him get a shot at the backup 5. I think he's going to play some 4 next to Joel, too. I think that's still in the cards.
Oh,
very
yeah.
Good defender, very good rebounder. Not much of an offensive player at this point, unfortunately, unless he can really ramp up the 3-point volume. Not like a bad finisher or anything around the rim, but he's not going to put the ball on the floor much or give you a ton of playmaking or anything like that. So that kind of led him to phase in and out of the rotation a bit last year. I think there are some similarities between him and Dean Wade in terms of just guys who don't need the ball and are gonna have limitations on offense. So I think Wade is obviously better in that.
Yeah.
Got into Barlow's minutes a bit, but there's a reason they kept him around. I think he's a good player for what he is. Let's go to your number 8, Lucas.
Yeah, I got KCP here at 8. Look, I'm not, the defense is still there, and I'm going to excuse the last 2 years because both the Magic and the Grizzlies have had two of the worst offenses the last couple of years, and nobody's going to look good in those offenses. So maybe reuniting with LeBron will help him have his Magic touch back. You know, like you said, he's still a really good defender. So if nothing else, you know, even if he's shooting in the low 30s, you know, 3-point wise, he's still going to be a, you know, guy that you can go out there and get stops on the bench at the guard position / wing position, which is really what you need for the Sixers team. You know, that's why I have him above Filon, because I think he's going to eat into some of those minutes because of the defense.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. He'll probably get the nod in terms of Nick Nurse's preferences, at least early in the year. I think Filon's going to have to prove it a bit more.
Yeah.
I have Filon at 8 for now. Okay. This is a guy, again, that I had top 10 in a very loaded class. I believe in him a lot. I think he's a very talented offensive player. He was very good on defense as a freshman, not so good as a sophomore when he took on a bigger role. He's going to have a smaller offensive load this year, so maybe the defense can perk back up. I am worried about the weight. There aren't a lot of 175-pound guards who are playing a lot of minutes in the NBA. That's going to be a challenge, and that could like cut into how willing Nick Nurse is to lean on him as a rookie. We know Nurse's track record with younger guys is not the strongest, so I have Filon at 8. I'm a big believer in his talent, but this is not really a roster that's built to spotlight him a ton right away, unfortunately. I mean, not unfortunately. I'm very happy with how the roster's
turned out.
But I have Filon at 8. I think he's going to find a way. I just believe in his talent a ton. So,
oh, yeah.
Who's your number 7, Lucas? I think we have the same top 7, probably in a slightly different order.
Yeah, it's Simons here at 7. Look, the guy's a flamethrower. Like we said, 2 seasons ago, he was averaging 24 points per game. Going to come in and be one of the best 3-point shooting guards coming off the bench. Obviously, not a great defender or playmaker, but with having so many playmakers in the starting 5, you don't need him to be your primary point guard. And you still have Filon if you need to have another guard come off the bench. So, yeah, look, Simons, he's a walking bucket. He should feast off of LeBron dribble drives or, you know, Maxi or Joel's high post or even Brown if Brown doesn't turn the ball over. But, yeah, look, yeah, so that's the – look, I have Simons at 7. He'd be higher if he could defend at any level.
Yeah, I also have Simons at 7 for pretty much every reason you outlined. He's a very, very – talented shooter and scorer. He's going to put a lot of points on the board off the bench. That is something the Sixers really lacked last year. I don't think it's going to be quite as important this year when everyone's healthy, but I mean, LeBron is going to really love having just a high volume gunner like that to kick it out to on the perimeter. He's played with Jaylen Brown before. I think there's some valuable kind of connective tissue and chemistry there. Not much of a defender. I think he will get preference over Filon, at least out of the gates. So that's, you know, just is what it is. I think those two fit together very well offensively in theory.
Oh, yeah.
Defensively, there's not a lot of weight to throw around. But Simons is a very, very electric scorer.
Simons, well, that's what we're going to start calling him from now on.
Simons is very good for a second unit guard. 6, yes. Lucas. I assume this is Dean Wade.
Yeah, it is. Look, the guys, you know, two-way forward, can defend all five positions. Might play a little bit at center, though I think they would prefer him being guarding, the team's best wing. Look, the guy can also hit three-pointers, boxes, maybe not rebounds at a high level, but can box out at a high level. So, yeah, look, he's going to get 25-plus minutes a night, or he should, anyway.
I agree. I also have Dean Wade at six. I really don't think we can overstate how important he's going to be to this team. He's really the perfect, like, sixth guy for this specific roster where he doesn't need a lot of oxygen on offense. He's not going to make mistakes. He's a smart, quick passer in the flow of things. He can hit a few spot-up threes. He was kind of played off the floor a little bit as Cleveland got deep into the playoffs. He's not, like, the lack of an offensive threat can be a problem in certain situations, but this roster is not that Cleveland roster. Yeah. They are going to have a lot more kind of playmaking and dynamism than the Cavs. Yeah. So,
and look, unless Maxey misses time, he's going to get the starter nod for almost Maxey or Embiid. He's going to be starting for any other guy on the roster.
Yeah, and like, look, truly one of the most versatile defenders in the NBA. Like, can legit guard a point guard on the perimeter on a switch, can guard the best wing, can be physical in the post. Like, he's super versatile and active on that side of the ball, which is going to be really important to this team.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Let's say Embiid is out. Is it automatically going to be either like Hawk Purdy, Bona, or Barlow? Or would you start Wade at the five? I'd be tempted to start Wade at the five. He's 6'9", 6'10".
Yeah. I mean, we'll see how things play out. I think for like matchup purposes, and like you said, kind of wanting Dean Wade to guard on the perimeter a bit more, I'd assume it would be Bona or Hawk Purdy or Barlow.
Well, you could have LeBron guard the opposing center in those games.
But you're just losing so much rim protection with that setup. Yeah. I'm not saying we won't see it ever, but I do think you want someone to kind of anchor the paint.
Again, I'm thinking of playing five out with LeBron or, you know, anybody really. Dean lets you do that.
My preference is that Bona and Barlow are your backup five options primarily. I just don't trust Hook Porter yet. I'm willing to be proven wrong, but I would imagine that Wade is still coming off the bench in those scenarios, but I'm flexible again. We'll see what works in the actual moment. Who do you have at five, Lucas?
It's VJ Edgecombe. Look, we had a great rookie year. I'm not expecting a big jump in terms of points, or he might even see a slight decrease in assists, but I'm expecting a high jump in efficiency. He's going to get so many easy buckets, not just playing with LeBron James, but also just think about it. He's going to have the other opposing team's worst defender in the starting five most nights. Like, he's going to get the worst one, and he's going to be able to feast off that. So that's you know, yeah, I have him at five.
I also have VJ at five. Draymond Green went on his podcast today and talked about how VJ was maybe the biggest loser out of all of this, and how he went from being the second or third option to the fourth or fifth option, and how he isn't really primed to take that quote-unquote leap that you would expect from an ascending second-year star. I get that, but like, VJ, for one, we know is going to buy in. Like, VJ just has the right mindset for this.
He just wants to win.
They're still going to really need him on defense. And also, again, this is going to be a very fast team. They're going to get out in transition a lot. Defenses are going to sell out on guys like JB and Maxey and LeBron and Embiid. VJ's going to have a lot of pretty open shots and a lot of very favorable matchups. So I still think he's going to have some big nights here and there. Like,
oh, yeah.
I do not think this is a terrible setup for VJ by any means, even if he's only averaging 13 points a game. I think he's going to be very important and very impactful, and I just don't worry about him like mentally not being in the right place for this sort of thing. So I think Draymond maybe has some sour grapes about where LeBron decided to sign. Be that as it may, who is your number four, Lucas?
Okay. Now, this is not to disrespect him at any point, because obviously he's a future Hall of Famer. It's LeBron James. And I just say that not because of necessarily skill, but at the top four, I'm thinking of pecking order here. Not necessarily who's the best, but who do I think is going to eat the most on offense. We know that, according to Shams, he's going to play the point guard role, the setup man. Last time he did that, he won a championship with the Lakers. Let's be clear. And yes, I did point that out for a particular reason. But also, I just, like we said before, he probably doesn't want to have to score 20 points per night. If he gets like 16 points, 10 assists, 7 or 8 rebounds, I think that's a win in everybody's book. So yeah, I got LeBron here fourth. And like I said, the top four here is more or less pecking order for me than who I actually think is the quote-unquote best player.
Yeah, no, I agree. I also have LeBron at four. I think the defense has fallen off, but offensively, he's still just totally brilliant. Always has been. He's not going to be the prime MVP guy of old. He's 41 going on 42. But if anyone can keep going at an extremely high level at that age, it's going to be him. I think the idea of LeBron playing point guard on this roster is very exciting. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, pecking order, sharing the ball, too many cooks in the kitchen, etc. I think LeBron is going to help a lot of that more than hurt it. I don't think he signs here. I mean, we heard all the talk early in the offseason about him wanting to find, like, basketball happiness in a place where he can compete. I don't think he signs here if he's worried about getting the most touches and the most opportunities to shine. Like, I think he's very willing to kind of take a backseat to JB and Joel when he's out there, and Maxi, who he loves. Like, those guys work out together, him and Maxi. There's a connection there. I think LeBron's passing is going to be super beneficial. We've wanted, like, an elite passer on this team for so long. The Harden era was very helpful for Maxi. I think LeBron can have a similar effect at this point in his career. You know, he is really kind of the idealized Ben Simmons.
Yep.
Anyways, ironically, yep, it's really a full circle moment with how LeBron and Ben were connected earlier in their careers. So I have LeBron at four as well, but he's like the best fourth best player on a team in the NBA by a country mile. Yep. Who do you have at three, Lucas? I think this is where things get a little spicy.
I think it is. And yet again, this is no disrespect to him, future Hall of Famer, all that. I go with pecking order, who I think is going to get the most touches. And like, health is going to be a factor in this too, because like, maybe if we knew Joel Embiid was going to be able to play a full like 65 to 82 games, then he'd be higher on this list. But the fact is that we don't know that. We don't expect that. So because of that, it's not saying that he doesn't have the skill to be number one on this list, but I think because you're going to not be able to rely on him, he's number three on this list for me. And I think a win of a season for Joel is averaging 20 points, 10 to 12 rebounds, 3 to 4 assists, and 1 to 1.5 blocks per game. I think that is what the Sixers need from him. Now, I said in the past, like 14, 15 points, probably not going to happen here. But like, look, like if it does, like at the same time, if he's bought in as a defender, rebounder, and playmaker, that is what the Sixers need. They don't need 34 point a night Joel Embiid anymore. That's not what they need.
Yeah, I think that is all very fair. I do think in terms of quote-unquote sacrifice, it's going to be Embiid and Brown who have to adjust their usual processes the most.
Yeah, that's true.
I have Jaylen Brown at three.
I figured maybe, as much.
Maybe I'm just being like a homer. Like, I just have too much respect for what Embiid is capable of. Obviously, whether he's on the floor is going to be a huge factor all year. JB is super, super, like, durable to date, knock on wood. So if you want to give him the edge for that reason, I totally understand it. Jaylen is super talented. No one's going to deny it. He's been an extremely high turnover player in Boston. He eats up a lot of usage. He's just not going to be able to do that as much on this team. I think LeBron will help him. I think having just a great passer and setup man who can find him in his spots, I think him not needing to be the quote-unquote guy, even if that's what he wanted, I think that will be helpful. If he's willing to buy in, this should give him more energy on defense where he can be very good when he's locked in.
Yeah.
If he's just taking more spot-up threes and attacking favorable matchups and getting to the rim, he's still their best, like, half court rim pressure self creator guy. They're going to need that in the playoffs and late in games. Jaylen Brown is an awesome player. As much as I've resisted saying that in the past on this podcast, deeply flawed but very talented, and I think this is a great environment for all these guys if they buy in. I guess there's the most questions in terms of buy-in
that would
be at this point, but he talked to Rich Paul. He wanted LeBron here. I think all these guys know what they're getting into. I have a hard time believing that he's going to just try to take over the ship, so to speak. So I have JB at 3. I assume you have JB at 2.
Actually, no.
Okay.
I have Tyrese Maxey at 1.
All right.
At 2. I got Tyrese Maxey at 2. Look, I love Tyrese Maxey. I love Tyrese Maxey. I have a black Tyrese Maxey jersey that I wore last episode. Let's be clear. I don't have a JB jersey yet, though I did order one. I did order one. It's coming in. LeBron's is coming when the City Editions comes out. But that's a whole different other story. What I will say is that for the Sixers to win a championship, we can both agree that Tyrese Maxey cannot be your best player. It is very hard for small guards to be the best player on a championship team. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen, because obviously you have Steph Curry, but Steph Curry is the
Won the championship?
Jalen Brunson. Okay. I'm Jalen Brunson.
I know. You're right.
So with that in mind, you don't want Tyrese Maxey to be your go-to guy. Not saying that he can't be. He can be. He hits clutch shots. Not saying that he can't do that. But Maxey's going to is more malleable than all these other guys that we just talked about in terms of making sacrifices. We know Tyrese can be a high efficient shooter coming off the ball. We saw it with James, right? And LeBron's is better than James. So, James Harden, of course, not LeBron James, but you know what I mean. So Maxey, I think, is willing to defer. I think he will defer. You know, if Joel plays 65 games, then Maxey might be third on this list in terms of picking order here, and that's fine. But I think Maxey, Maxey Brown has won an NBA Finals. He's won a Finals MVP. He got a Conference Finals MVP. Maxey knows how egos work. He's a leader on this team. I think that Maxey will be deferential to Brown, or even more than just Brown. But I see Maxey being the deferential guy. Now, it doesn't mean that this isn't Maxey's team. It is Maxey's team. Let's be clear. But just because you're the best player just because it's your team doesn't mean that you're the highest leading scorer or the quote unquote best player.
For over 70 years, Sports Illustrated has set the standard for sports storytelling. Now's your chance to be part of it. Subscribe to the magazine today at si.com/SIPodOffer and experience the game like never before.
Okay. Does that make sense? So that's why I have Maxey at 2.
It does. I have Embiid at 2 and Maxey at 1.
Yeah, and I have Brown at 1. And I think, go ahead.
Well, I think this is a very unique setup, obviously. I would ask you if Maxey can be both the best player and not the quote-unquote guy. Because Jaylen Brown will be the guy in the fourth quarter in a tie game when things slow down. He's going to be their best. Like, he gets to the rim. He's a very talented ISO guy, which Maxey can score an ISO, and he can create his own stuff, but that's not really his strength. Maxey's going to be off the ball more. I 100% agree with that. But he also doesn't turn the ball over. He's an electric shooter. The speed and touch combo going to the rim is crazy. This team is going to play a lot in transition. Him and LeBron are going to have a really special connection, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be really special in an off-ball role. I think that's always been... There's been a lot of weird, like, you don't want to take the ball out of Maxey's hands. This is his team. Like,
No, you can't take it out of his hand.
Out of his hands. That's how you get the most out of him. You want him catching and attacking. You don't want him running the offense.
Yeah.
I think Embiid is still the guy when he's healthy, in theory. I think he's the best player here. I'm putting him at 2 for the health reasons.
I put him at 3 for the health reasons.
Yeah, which is fair, and I think we'll see how he kind of... if he kind of takes more of a backseat this year and does, like we talked about, I think if he becomes more of like a spot up 3 guy, more pick and pops, that kind of thing would be really helpful if he can get his 3-point percentage.
Like if he can recreate Chris Bosh, that would be great.
Yeah. I like if you put a if you use him as a proper stretch five with these four guys around him, I don't know how you guard this team. So he's going to have to not be like
a crappy three-point shooter.
That's just not the role he's going to need to play on this team. But
or you know what? I don't even know if he needs to go out to the three-point line, Chris. Like, he's so dangerous from the elbow. His elbow shot is more dangerous than any three-point shot that he has.
Yeah, I mean, that will definitely still be part of the diet. No doubt.
So I I agree, no more post-ups. And going back to the Jaylen Brown case.
Well, I'm not saying no more post-ups. There are obviously going to be matchups.
Yeah.
Get it in the post, have the defense collapse, and he can kick it out to any of these guys, and they're going to be in a favorable spot. That's still going to be a thing. But
let me get to the Brown of this all, because I have him number one. I think, you know, first off, you're worried about Brown buying in, just give him the ball. Like, let him be the number one scorer, right? Like let him do that. You know, egoless basketball. The other three guys are probably more willing to give up than Brown, right? If you're worried about that. I'm not worried about that. But, like, let's just say that happens. Also, like you said, half-court set. At this point, LeBron can't do it consistently for four series in a playoff game. Maybe one series, sure. Joel, he can win you a series. Tyrese Maxey can probably win you a couple games in a series, but Brown can win you a whole, like, he's proven that he can get you deep. Like, and he's still in his prime. Like, half court wise, Brown and Embiid are probably your two best half court players at this point, right? So you want to, like, and that's why I think, like, we talked about it last time, you want to pair these guys up whenever they play. So I would not play Brown and Embiid together. I'd probably do Maxey and, well,
I agree. We talked about this a little bit on the last episode.
I would do Brown and Maxey and LeBron and Embiid.
And Maxey and LeBron and Brown.
That's fine too. Yeah. So but like I said, I think Brown's going to be your most important player in high leverage situations, especially in the playoffs during half court sets where fast breaks won't be nearly as important. Now, hopefully some of LeBron's, you know, like, playmaking and stuff will rub off on Brown and the turnovers. Because let's be clear, if he wasn't a turnover machine, can we say that, like, we would have a much higher view of Brown and we wouldn't be nearly as worried?
Yeah.
Yeah, so,
for sure.
Like, if Brown can cut down on the turnovers, which, you know, he won't be asked to initiate as nearly as much the offense, because when he played with Boston last year, like, Peyton Pritchard's a score-first point guard and Derek Brown's not really a playmaker. So, like, essentially he was playing point guard last year. Or point forward, whatever. Like, I just think it's going to be, I just think that he's going to eat the most on offense, and I think the other three guys aren't going to care if he eats the most on offense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think Brown, if you had to, like, ask me who will be the leading scorer on this team, it's probably Jaylen Brown. I definitely agree. Also of note, you could very credibly argue, and I think the numbers pretty much back this up, they're all like top five. Like, LeBron, Maxey, and Brown might be the three best transition players in the NBA.
Yeah.
We know that VJ is very fast.
He's 14th.
They have four amazing transition players and Joel, which is going to be an interesting thing to kind of manage, because Joel is just not a fast up and down guy.
Let Joel take the Kevin Love role and be the outlet pass.
Yeah, like, Joel can be the trailing, he can hit Chris trailing Bosch. Threes. Yeah. Like, there's going to be a way, Joel can make good outlet passes off the, like, I don't think that's a problem necessarily, but again, it goes back to, like, how guys are going to have to sacrifice. Joel probably has to play the most differently of anyone to make this all fully click. I think he can. I think he's willing to. Again, Joel was, as reported, very, very in, like, central to getting LeBron to come here. He was right up there
since 2014.
He was on Team USA with LeBron. They have a relationship. All the, like, LeBron AD trade hypotheticals, I just don't want to hear it. I understand where people are coming from. AD does make a lot of sense with this team, but I don't think they're going to trade Joel. I would be extremely upset if they did.
Yeah.
The defensive concerns with Joel at this point in his career are valid. I'm really interested to see how that plays when he's carrying less of a load on offense and when he is finally, again, knock on wood, like, having a healthy offseason for the first time ever. Like,
3 years.
He's not having surgery this offseason, which is significant. And that was clearly a factor in LeBron's decision. It's like, Joel is just healthier than he is, maybe has ever been. And whether that will last, it probably won't. You can't count on Joel to play 82 games, obviously. But I'm really interested to see how the Joel of this all works. You and I both have a lot of investment in Embiid's career at this point. We've been through thick and thin with him. I love him to death.
Yeah.
He's so important to me. And he's going to be really important to making this team work at the highest possible level.
Yeah. Like, so
there are going to be games where all five of these guys are the number one guy on a given night. If someone just has it going, if it's just a Maxi night, if it's a JB night, if it's an Embiid night, if it's a LeBron night, if it's an
Edgecombe night,
if it's a VJ night, that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And if these guys are willing to buy in and let other guys cook when they have it going and feed the hot hand, this team is going to be pretty darn near impossible to stop offensively.
Oh, yeah.
Defensively, we'll see.
Well, look, the thing is, you can always have at least two of these guys out on the court at any given time. You can surround them with, you know, defensive guys like Wade, KCP, Barlow, or, you know, if you want more shooting, maybe Walker or, you know, if I'm thinking defense and shooting. You know, or if you want to sacrifice a little bit of defense and have Simons out on the floor. Look, this is going to be a really good team. Now, if we get to the, let me just ask you this. Yeah, let's say Philly wins the championship in the next 2 years. Does LeBron get a statue and or his jersey retired here?
I mean, we can't know for sure, but assuming that he's very important to them winning that championship, I wouldn't have a problem with that, I don't think.
Well, yeah, because I think already you can say that Embiid's definitely getting his jersey retired. Maxey's most likely going to get his jersey retired. We'll see about Brown and Edgecombe, obviously. But, like,
if Jaylen Brown gets his jersey retired as a Sixer, that will be an all-time hilarious twist of history.
Imagine
telling someone 2 years ago that Jaylen Brown is going to have his jersey retired as a Sixer. Can you imagine?
Look, if he gets finals MVP, he could. He could. Look, if he gets finals MVP.
He could.
Yeah. And I'll say this.
What if he gets his jersey retired by the Sixers and the Celtics?
That'd be crazy. I mean, I don't know about the Celtics because they have a high standard for that. But
yeah,
I will say that based on, let's just say if the Sixers are playing either the Spurs or the Thunder in the NBA Finals. Now, obviously, we're not making our preseason predictions yet, but let's just say hypothetically this happens. Joel has had his way-to-way with Wemby in the past, right? Obviously, LeBron James would dominate Tobias Harris. That would be crazy. You know, and by the way, we did have our friend Dusty Garza on talking about that, just saying, you know, before all this happened. But look. I think Maxey would have a hard time in that series. I think Brown would have a hard time in that series. I think Joel would, despite Wemby being Wemby, you know, if Joel's healthy, like, it would be Joel's MVP, finals MVP to lose, I think, in that series. Because of all the perimeter defense, I think that Joel would have the easiest matchup out of that. Or LeBron.
Yeah. Look, if we can get Joel to the finals in one piece, that alone would be... would fill my heart with joy.
Yeah. And same thing with the Thunder. I mean, look, I get that they have really good defensive, but still,
I think the Spurs and the Thunder are to an extent, the Knicks are really the only teams, really the Spurs and the Thunder are the only teams constructed in a way to actually give Philly some problems, full stop. Like,
yeah,
they have the guys on the perimeter to kind of touch all the bases and make life difficult on everyone. Joel has handled the OKC matchup pretty well in the past. He's had Wimby's number before. I think Wimby is really better than the last time we saw those two play at full strength and is still getting better. And like,
he might be better, but can he handle being big bodied by Joel? That's the real question.
It's going to be a more taxing series for Wemby for sure.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, look, I think of based off of who's the strongest in the West right now, Joel probably has the edge, probably wins finals MVP in either one of those two matchups.
That would be a dream come true. I mean, I sincerely hope you're right.
Full circle.
It would be like the greatest thing that's ever happened.
Trust the process. The process is complete.
I mean, that would be so beautiful. I'm like almost tearing up thinking about it. But
it would be beautiful. I don't want to make any wholesale.
Look, these things normally take time. LeBron it's a one-on-one deal.
Yeah.
Winning the first year when you're trying to figure all this out is going to be very hard. I don't want to like sit here and act like the Sixers are favorites to win it all.
But you know a coach that's done that before? You know a coach that's done that before is Nick Nurse when Kawhi came into town.
I think this is a slightly more extreme example of making a bunch of things fit. I think that was kind of Kawhi's team by default.
Well, I mean, they did bring in Marc Gasol halfway through the season as well.
That's true.
Yeah. And he was a starter.
That was
a
more natural fit, probably.
Maybe.
Gasol just kind of did what Marc Gasol has always done. Kawhi was still doing Kawhi things. They kind of just plugged him in for DeMar DeRozan, which was a substantial upgrade.
I mean, you were plugging in LeBron for Paul George, which is a substantial upgrade. Yeah,
well, you're really plugging JB in for Paul George and LeBron in for, like, I don't know, Barlow. But it's true. This team could definitely win a championship this year. It's 100% on the table.
Mm-hmm.
It will take some figuring out. I think it's an amazing fit once everyone buys in. Assuming everyone buys in, there are going to be some growing pains, obviously. We can't discount that.
Yeah.
This might be a 2-year project if LeBron is really, truly like committed to being here for 2 years.
Yeah.
We'll see how this season ends and how he wants to approach next offseason. Yeah. But
I also want to note one thing because I was thinking about this yesterday. Let's say they didn't trade for JB, right? And they just kept Paul George and LeBron joined the team anyway, right? We wouldn't be feeling the same way about this team with PG instead of JB. Let's be clear. At least I wouldn't.
Yeah. No. I think we'd still be feeling pretty good if LeBron had decided.
Pretty good, but not as good as we are.
Yeah. 100% the JB trade changes things. And
yeah.
I think the fact that he's been such a like durable guy and so proven in the playoffs is a big factor here. I have seen people like kind of joke and make the argument that George would have been the better fit on this specific roster, and you can kind of get there, but I think Brown's ability to, again, pressure the rim and create when things slow down is going to be still really important to this team.
Yeah.
That's just not Maxey's game as much as people want to make Maxey out to be like the guy. He is the guy in a lot of ways, but he's not someone you want to dump the ball off to and ask to like.
Like cook. I said, you right. want him to be your number two or number three guy.
You want him attacking off the catch and getting downhill against the defense that's already out of rotation, which he's going to get to do a lot with this specific lineup. And I think it's going to be very beneficial for Tyrese.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to average 30 points a game again or anything.
I think it's going to be between 20 and 24.
It'll be a very efficient like 24 or 25. And
yeah.
I think Brown's efficiency could very well improve. He won't have a reason to turn the ball over as much on this team if he really buys in. This could be the best version of Jaylen Brown that we've seen in theory.
If Jaylen Brown can play off the ball and like attack, you know, from like backdoors, you know, cuts, all those things. And, you know, he's not a bad spot up 3-point shooter and, you know, maybe not being tasked as so much as an initiator on offense will allow him to get back to his good defensive ways.
Yeah. So, he's a very good on-ball defender. I do think, like, getting these guys to defend at the level necessary to win a championship is the biggest challenge. Like, LeBron's just not built like he used to. Embiid's not built like he used to be, like...
Maxey's an okay defender. VJ's a plus. Brown's an above average, but not great.
I'm less worried about their ability to like stop guys at the point of attack and more worried about how vulnerable they are to like off ball. They're going to get lost and like in rotation and stuff. There are going to be some problems, but I mean, this is an absurdly talented offensive team. They really should be the number one offense in the NBA if everyone's clicking.
Healthy. Yeah.
They're going to like just murder teams in transition. It's going to be very fun. I'm super excited. I still cannot believe that LeBron James and Jaylen Brown are Sixers. That is the
So did you order any JB or LBJ jersey yet?
I've been looking. I've been toying with the idea. It's gonna happen. I'm gonna get.
I got the JB one. I got the white JB one. I'm gonna get the city LeBron James, and then I'm gonna get the red VJ.
Yeah,
I was gonna get red VJ this time, but then the red VJs are out, so I went with the white JB instead because I think it's hilarious that I have a white jersey that says Brown on it. So
I'm gonna get the like AI, the black.
Oh, I have the black maxi, so that's why I'm keeping. Yeah, I don't want to have multiple of the same jerseys. I like having different colors and different variations.
The last two Sixers jerseys I bought were Ben Simmons and Al Horford, so I'm still a little scarred. And Jared McCain, but that was after the trade as a joke.
Which Ben Simmons one do you have?
It was like the gray one. Remember the gray one?
That's the worst one. That's the worst one.
I had the like tan ones. I think
those aren't that good either.
I got the gray Ben one, and I think I also got like a white
Al Horford.
Not like the standard whites though, like one of the city kind of weird. Okay.
Was it the brotherly love one? Was it the brotherly love one?
No, maybe. I forget exactly what like weird jersey combos we had that year, but it might have been one of the tan ones.
Yeah. I've been looking at some old Sixers jerseys on eBay, MCW, even the boat, you know, even a Ben Simmons one, the black ones, Ben Simmons, I don't know, we'll see. I probably shouldn't, but I like the jersey, and that's the only black one that I can find on there, so
yeah, we'll see. I mean, you're going to be cheaper if you're buying a Ben
Simmons. Actually, MCW is only 25, the Ben's 55, so.
Wow.
Anyway, I know you got to go. Let's go ahead and wrap this up.
Yep. All right, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Sixer Sense podcast. Like, subscribe, follow along if you can. We are on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and on YouTube, where you can see our beautiful faces talking at you. We're on Twitter at Sixer Sense. I'm at KleinNBA. Lucas is at CoachJ_20. You can follow the Sixer Sense on TikTok as well at The Sixer Sense. And until next time, go Sixers. We'll talk soon.
Trust the process, guys.
Trust the process. Throw the ball up.